problem if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression.
A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight.
Hello, Americans. I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
My computer is the best on earth.
Danger,
Will Robinson.
Danger.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
One, if by land. Two, if by sea. Three, if by government. This is Paul Revere Radio. And now, here's your host, Rick Johnson.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the show. My name is Rick Johnson, and you're listening to Paul Revere Radio. By now, you've probably seen the video. I know it's gone viral all over the internet. Most of you have seen it, and most of you were probably just as shocked as I was. What you see is a citizen standing in what looks like a municipal courthouse performing a citizen's arrest on a county official. Now, what's even more surprising to me is the county official actually turns around and has the citizen arrested, and the deputy's hauling him off and out of the chambers. So my question when I saw it was, who is this man? Why was he taking these bold actions, and what are the charges? Well, the man is retired U.S. Navy Commander Walt Fitzpatrick, and Walt is with us tonight, and we want to welcome you to the show. But before we go any further, I need to let everybody in the audience know that Commander Fitzpatrick has given this enlisted guy a direct order not to call him commander. So, sir, with that out of the way, I want to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you, Rick, and I might, you know, just jump in and say that I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore, and Walt or Fitz works just fine, and I started my career in the Navy as an enlisted man, so Walt or Fitz or hey you, that works just fine.
Well, I greatly appreciate it. Now, I tell you, 20-plus years of habit is very hard to break, so if I fall back on sir or something like that, I apologize. I want to jump right in, and I pulled the audio from the YouTube video where you were trying to perform the citizen's arrest. And I want to go ahead and play that, or at least play part of it, and then we will talk about the grand juries and things of that nature and why you were actually doing this. So let's go ahead and knock this out first.
These are the documents which are being presented to the grand jury that's meeting right now at this moment. Okay? There is an affidavit of criminal complaint, which is all that I need. Look at it. That's the only requirement that I have to meet. And then the second document is a citizen's arrest warrant. Mr. Petway's named in this document. I'm here today to conduct a citizen's arrest.
You are under arrest.
Sir,
you're under citizen's arrest. I'm charging you, Mr.
Petway, with treason. Sir, you have to leave the room, sir. Please.
I'm charging
please
you
with leave the room. Treason. Please leave the room, sir.
I'm charging you with official oppression.
Mr. Fitzpatrick, please leave the room.
Official conduct. You are under arrest.
Please leave the room.
I'm placing you under arrest, Mr. Petway. You are under citizen's arrest. I'm placing you under arrest.
I'm asking you to leave the room,
you must
sir.
Now come with
I'm
me.
Asking you to leave the room. Office, will you escort this gentleman out of the room?
Mr. Petway is under citizen's arrest.
Well, Walt, I'm sure that that was very hard for you to do, and it's probably still hard for you to listen to.
Oh, you just took the thought out of my head.
Yeah, I just can't imagine. Let's go back and get a little background information. Why were you actually going to the grand jury? What was your intent initially before you ever got to the stage where you were performing a citizen's arrest?
In the 2 years ago, almost to the day, Mr. Obama has been under a charge that has been vetted over and over again, a legitimate charge, cogent, compelling. It's now, in fact, he's admitted to his treason. He's under a charge of treason, and it's got nothing to do, by the way, with his birthright. It's got everything to do with the fact that he's trying to install a government which is unconstitutional, installing a government that is rival to the United States Constitution in every way. That happened on March 17th of 2009. A couple of gentlemen, Mr. Carl Swenson, Messrs. Carl Swenson and Bob Campbell, working independently and then working together in what was then recognized as not just, it was a common law grand jury and a citizen's grand jury, but the sentiment was the same, which is that because the standing grand juries in this country hadn't taken action or the standing law enforcement agencies in this country hadn't acted, that the citizens were going to take it upon themselves to do what government isn't doing, which
okay.
is enforce the law. So Messrs. Campbell and Swenson became aware of the complaint launched against Mr. Obama by an officer, a military officer with standing, and it became the centerpiece of several presentments, and we'll talk about what a presentment is later, that were advanced by both men all over the country. And tonight there's a woman named Sharon Ronda who is the managing editor for the Post and Email who is trying to compile the numbers. But we attempted, I should say, they attempted to take that treason complaint and move it into a federal court and also into state courts.
Okay.
And got no place. So it was in towards the end of the summer of 2009, it was in the district court in Washington, D.C., and Judge Royce Lamberth slapped it down. And this was the, as I recall, and Mr. Campbell or Mr. Swenson can call in and correct me on this, but it was a super grand jury. It was 172 people who had come in with this complaint naming Obama and his treason. And Judge Lamberth at the federal level said, no, you can't do that here. So I was in the D.C. area at the time. In fact, one of the reasons that I was up there was to go into Lamberth's court to be there to testify on this. Lamberth said, no, we're not going to do this. And in my return from Washington, Maryland, Washington, D.C. area, because of what Judge Lamberth had said at the federal level, I said, you know what, I can raise this issue up at the county level in my own state, in my own county of Monroe in Tennessee. And so I did that. That happened in August and September of 2009. I was obstructed. And in pursuing that obstruction and trying to get around the people who were obstructing me, one of them was Mr. Gary Pedway, who was the foreman of the Monroe County, Tennessee grand jury at the time.
Okay. Let me ask you a question before we jump a lot deeper into this. Are you originally from Monroe County?
No.
Okay,
I came here to try and help a soldier named Ray Gerard, who at the time was locked up at Fort Leavenworth. That gets into a longer story about what the JAG Hunter's been all about, and we found out about the juries not being used on the military side first. And when I say we, I'm talking about a former Marine sergeant named Timothy Joseph Harrington. Tim and I have been working on this for some time now, and I've been involved in this work for about two decades. But came here for Gerard, and then other things, it's like peeling an onion. You never know, what God has planned for you. So,
sure.
Tim and I worked very aggressively on this treason complaint 2 years ago. After we had worked on other military cases, we recognized that with an illegitimate commander-in-chief, we had some real problems that we needed to address and, go after directly. It was consistent with what Tim and I had found in the military and other aspects, so we said, well, this is what we need to do. So it was on St. Patrick's Day of 2009 that these two crazy Irishmen, Harrington and Fitzpatrick,
okay.
put together this complaint and actually advanced it. So, as I said, it was deflected at the federal level over and over and over again, and whenever a citizens group tried to advance the complaint, it was ignored.
Right. I've seen lots of examples where people tried to get this thing done, and they kept saying they didn't have any standing.
That's correct. And so, anyway, driving back from D.C. in the summer of 2009, I said, I can do it here in Monroe County because we have a jury that's standing. It's been constructed by a court. They have the power of presentment. It's judiciable because I live here. And so I said, I'll take it to them. And I tried to do that. And as I said, I was obstructed. And the two primary people involved in the obstruction, one was an assistant district attorney named James Stutz. And the other person who was working with Stutz was the foreman of the grand jury, Mr. Gary Pedway. So from September, October, November, December, I kept trying to get into the grand jury to advance my complaint. Now, there's a longer story there, which I don't need to go into tonight. But what I will say is that at the end of this, and at the end of December, when we had been snubbed and ignored, as we had been snubbed and ignored before, I was told in the early part of January of 2010 that I could go back to the grand jury because Mr. Pettway was going to be replaced. We have a new grand jury in the new year, 2010. Why don't you take it back to them and see what they say? So I said, okay, we'll do that. And so I came back to the Monroe County grand jury expecting a brand new grand jury foreman, because that's what the state of Tennessee requires that you do, dump out the old and, you know, pick a new one randomly without the possibility of any human agency. You pick jurors like you pick lottery numbers, only to find that Mr. Pettway was still the grand jury foreman in 2010. And as we started to dig into this, and I was working with other folks, we were told Mr. Pettway had been in the grand jury, we came to find out, for 20 years.
Wow.
In January, 20 years in a row. And I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. No, this can't be happening. I mean, I grew up in the day when 12 Angry Men was a very popular movie, the Henry Fonda version.
Yeah, great, great movie.
Yeah, and you don't have people who are permanent jurors, you know,
right,
or professional jurors. And as we dug into this, we found out that Mr. Pettway was, in fact, exactly that. And then the group of folks...
Yeah, let me jump into the law here just a second. I did a little homework for this, and the Tennessee Code 22-2-314 talks about limitation of jury service, and it says a juror who has completed a jury service term shall not be summoned to serve another jury service term in any court of the state for a period of 24 months following the last day of such service. Right. However, the county legislative body of any court may, by majority vote, extend the 24-month period.
Yeah.
And so basically, this man had been in 20-plus years. He's
right.
A professional jury foreman.
Right, and he's not the only one. We have found tonight, as we stand here tonight, as we're speaking tonight, there's a gentleman named Mr. Snow in Roane County, Tennessee, who has been reappointed into his 23rd year. This is going on statewide.
Right.
Anyway, so
yeah.
we found out about Pettway. And, of course, Pettway was one of the, you know, obstructions to getting this complaint for treason advance into a legitimate grand jury. And so in January, when this was discovered, myself and other folks did everything that we could to engage law enforcement to have Mr. Pettway removed from his, you know, professional job as a grand jury foreman and have somebody else put in there so that we could advance the complaint. And we got no place. And I can talk about that, but won't. Anybody who's listening tonight, we did everything that you would have expected us to do at the federal level and the state level to alert folks that Mr. Pettway was illegally standing on the podium as a foreman in a grand jury that he had was unlawful, where he was prohibited from being. So after doing that and being snubbed again, it came down to a last resort, which was to conduct the citizen's arrest. And
now, Walt, who keeps putting this gentleman in that position?
I am trying to get that information now. One of the people that's involved in doing this is a woman named Amy Armstrong Reedy. And Reedy was the judge who had appointed Mr. Pettway into the term of jury service that he was carrying out in 2010. So Judge Amy, A-M-Y, Armstrong Reedy, is the judge who is responsible for 2010. And going back farther than that, I've got a subpoena in to find out exactly who else has been appointing Mr. Pettway over the course of the 20 years. It wouldn't be Reedy for all of that time because she wasn't a judge for all of that time. And there are other judges in Monroe County in the 10th Judicial District of the state of Tennessee who I suspect appointed him. But we'll find out when I get those documents.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking with Commander Walt Fitzpatrick, and he is the gentleman who is basically going up against the judicial system of Eastern Tennessee in his county, Monroe County. If you'd like to call and ask questions, please feel free to do so. Our number here is 917-889-8870. So, Walt, you went ahead and did everything legally possible. You used all the channels, all the avenues that were provided for you, and you kept getting bounced from time to time to time. What brought you to the idea of doing a citizen's arrest?
Well, no one, and this is as recently as today, no one in the state of Tennessee claims jurisdiction to be able to arrest a judge or a grand jury foreman. And you've got the recording. I mean, I've talked to the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. I talked to them again today. They said unless a warrant is issued from a court clerk or somebody else who has the authority to issue a warrant, nobody can lay a glove on a judge or a grand jury foreman. And I found that to be breathtakingly sinister, chilling. And then I found out more about what the judges are doing in this footprint of the world, and no one claims jurisdiction to be able to arrest a judge,
right?
Or the foreman. So that leaves it. And when you read the state constitution for the state of Tennessee, it vests the power of that constitution in the people. And Tennessee has, some of the strongest citizen arrest laws on the books. And so I decided for myself that I was going to exercise those laws that allowed me to effect an arrest against somebody who I knew was committing a felony crime in my presence. And so that's what you heard.
Yeah. And it didn't go over real well. You were arrested and taken off to jail. I saw videos all over the internet and YouTube where people were talking about you going on a hunger strike, people meeting there in front of the courthouse to plead your case, basically Tea Party groups or other groups coming to try to make sure that you're getting fair treatment and stuff like that. How were you actually treated after your arrest?
It depended on which watch was on and which deputies. I mean, there were good ones and bad ones.
Right.
I don't want to go in and name them tonight. I will say this much, that the Monroe County Jail is a dungeon. It's not fit for human occupation. And please, folks, don't misunderstand me. I know it's a jail, but you don't treat anybody like these folks are being treated at the Monroe County Jail. You just don't do it. And we don't need to get into that tonight. That can be a whole other show. We talk about this. But this place is nothing but a dungeon. And we're talking medieval. I mean, this place needs to be, completely torn down and a new one built from the ground up. So, again, some of the treatment was okay. Some of it wasn't.
Yeah, I've got anybody out there listening can go on the internet and just put in Monroe County Jail into a search engine. You'll come up with literally hundreds of articles, letters to the editors, and things like that. I've got one here. Was the Monroe County Jail really inspected last December? Talking about black mold and rampant illness, lack of medical attention is the norm there. So, I was just curious as if you found that to be true, and obviously from what you're saying, it is. Now,
I should say that Sharon Rondell wrote that report from a post and email. She's the managing editor, and I was calling Sharon daily from the Monroe County Jail and reporting to her the conditions that I was living in at the time. And there are men and women living in these conditions still tonight.
Yeah, and these are things that have been reported for years, I guess, and there's just, just swept under the rug. Nobody really is doing anything about it. And,
correct.
And that's a shame. Now, this isn't the only problem that's going on in Monroe County. Before tonight's over, I want to talk about some more things that are going on with the legal system and some of the things that I've found while I'm just searching around on the internet. But getting back to your presentation, you decided to go ahead and perform a citizen's arrest. And how did you have any meetings or any discussions with Mr. Pettway before this actually took place?
Well, from August, September, October, November, December, regular occurrences of contact with James Stutz, who's the assistant district attorney, off and on, and then, of course, Mr. Pettway. And so, I was just ignored. I remember one conversation in October of 2009 where I told Mr. Pettway that, with Stutz standing next to him, I said, you've been reported to the Federal Bureau of Investigation and to the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation about what's going on here. As I'm trying to get back into the grand jury to tell them, hey, your grand jury's been rigged, he's laughing at me, basically. And he said, you thought they were going to do something about this? And then, he had me escorted from the building by Monroe County deputy sheriffs. These people know what they're doing. They've got the juries in their pockets. The judges are assigning the leaders to the grand juries in Tennessee State. It's a John Grisham quote, and he says that every jury has a leader and that the verdict belongs to that leader, to him or her. And that's frightening when you think about it, a judge picking the person who is the leader of the jury, and then everybody just kind of snickering up their sleeve at you to think, you know, to say to you basically in, you know, pejorative ways, hey, what do you think you're going to do about this? Try and stop us, you know, that kind of attitude.
Yeah, I'm sure as you're standing there as a defendant, that's just got to be terrifying, knowing that the whole deck is literally stacked against you. And if you know, what do you, I'm just curious, what are the defense attorneys, what are their opinions on this?
I have spoken with several of the defense attorneys, and in a sentence, I can tell you that they're just scared blind. And they are not able to act against the system, as they tell me, because it would mean their livelihood, or alternatively, it would mean their lives. There are attorneys who have reported that they've been threatened, as I have been threatened, with their lives should they continue to pursue trying to get this corrupt government undone, addressed, held to a criminal consequence.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you think that Walt is kind of stretching the truth here, I'll tell you, I grew up in, well, my father was in the Air Force, but we were originally from Pickett County, Tennessee, and also over near Cookeville and Crossville, Tennessee. And so I have a lot of familiarity with Eastern Tennessee, and I never actually had to rub elbows with the judicial system, thank God. But I've got an article here. This came from J.B. Williams, and it's titled Monroe County, Tennessee Corruption Turns Violent. And I won't take the time to read the entire article, but it literally talks about Republican Election Commissioner Jim Miller was brutally murdered in a Chicago mob-style slaying and set ablaze in the trunk of his car.
Yep.
And it is suspected that Monroe County Sheriff's Deputy Captain Kenny Hope was, immediately identified as a person of interest in the case, but then was cleared by Tennessee Bureau of Investigation.
Yep.
But this sounds like something you'd see in a really bad movie. I mean, the old Buford T. Pusser movie type stuff.
Yep,
and Walt is living it, and he's standing up against it. And ladies and gentlemen, please, I would encourage you to pray for Walt and his protection, and for those others who are taking the bold steps to stand up and try to, at least slow this down or get the proper people to investigate this so that it can be challenged. Walt,
well,
we're coming.
I was in offices of the Federal Bureau of Investigation today. I met with three agents today, and I met with an agent last Friday. And I've explained to them aggressively that the threats against – I've been targeted and named as the next Jim Miller. It's believed that Jim Miller was – I mean, there are several theories, motives that go behind why Mr. Miller might have been murdered in the way that he was, but the one that's prevailing is that he had dirt on what was going on here in Monroe County, which was consistent with what was being exposed at the same time about the grand jury and how it had been taken over and how Mr. Pettway had been there for 20 years, folks, 20 years. And then all of a sudden, this is in July of 2010. Mr. Pettway was discovered in January of 2010 as having been in this grand jury for 20 years in a row.
Right.
And we are days away from the re-election, the election for the sheriff of Monroe County, and it's believed that Mr. Miller had information that would have disrupted that election, re-election bid, and exposed the Monroe County Sheriff's Department, as people believe that they are corrupt and could be exposed, and certainly the jail is the least of it. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Miller ends up dead. And I've been threatened to say, hey, Fitzpatrick, you're the next Jim Miller if you don't back away from this. I talked about this today. I talked about it last Friday. It's serious. Ms. Sharon Rondo from the Post and Email has been threatened with her life, and it is because we're getting closer and closer to exposing these people and having judges actually face a criminal consequence and to have them stop rigging the juries.
Now, other than Mr. Pettway, are there not other jury members who seem to be coming back time and time and time again in these juries?
In my case, since January of 2010, I've had exposure to three different juries. Mr. Pettway's grand jury, there was a special grand jury that was assembled, or actually it sat on the 3rd of June. And then my trial jury, which took place on the 1st of December of 2010. And in each case, we have found people in these juries who served in juries in 2009. Wow. This is not a coincidence. And these are just the people that we have names for, okay? I don't have all the names for the rest of the people on these grand juries, and I suspect that as we start to dig into this, we're going to find other people who have been picked by hand. Now, in the jury of 1 December, which was my trial jury, Miss Martha Cook, who is the court clerk, actually sat down and wrote out, and I sent this to you, Rick. You got this.
You know, Walt, I want to actually go into this right after we do the break, which is coming up in about 1 minute, so... if you don't mind, we'll go to break now, and when
sure.
we come back, we'll talk about Ms. Marty Cook from Monroe County, the Tennessee Circuit Court Clerk, and some of the wheelings and dealings that she does and the power that she has in her position. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're having a great time talking with Commander Walt Fitzpatrick. He is in Monroe County, Tennessee, and he has basically stumbled into a hornet's nest, and so we'll be coming back right after this commercial break to talk more about his situation.
Hello, this is Tesler, the host of Socialism is Not an Option, producing two great interactive live internet talk radio shows. Our weekly Sunday program at 4 p.m. Eastern is the Hot Topic Show that focuses on a variety of different subjects that include interviews, current events, politics, politicians, and the laws that govern our country today. A new Hot Topic every week, interactive discussion with our listeners is welcomed and encouraged. Our weekly Friday program at 9 p.m. Eastern is the Roundtable Roundup Show and features the hosts of other VTR shows. They discuss the events of the past week, social and political issues that impact our lives, and share their collective wisdom on a variety of topics. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/TESSLER. Socialism is Not an Option is a member of America's premier conservative talk radio network, Red State Talk Radio.
Half a century ago, Nobel Prize-winning biologist Sir Peter Medawar made a startling comment. He declared that the survival of a child in a mother's womb contradicted immunological laws. Since the immune system normally detects foreign tissue and attacks it, you'd expect the mother's immune system to attack the genetically distinct child within her. Well, we now know that it actually does, but the baby survives by putting up a very specific defense. Researchers at the Medical College of Georgia discovered that mammalian embryos produce a special enzyme that suppresses the mother's killer T cell action. A human embryo starts to produce this enzyme just before it attaches to the mother's uterus. This refutes a major argument used to support abortion, that the embryo is just a part of the mother's body to do with as she pleases. The research clearly shows that the human embryo is distinct from its mother from the beginning.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
You're asking a hypothetical question, and I found out that I never get in trouble if I don't answer one of those. So, never, Sam.
Mr. President, in talking about the continuing recession tonight, you have blamed mistakes of the past, and you have blamed the Congress. Does any of the blame belong to you?
Yes, because for many years I was a Democrat.
Are you tired of the lies, manipulations, and rumors coming out of D.C. and Capitol Hill? Are you tired of not knowing political speak? Are you ready to educate yourself for the campaign for 2012 that's already started? Come on by Unvarnished Show, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, at our new home, drscoundrels.com. We are a proud member of the Red State Talk Radio.com network.
Challenging and defeating the left-wing agenda of the mainstream media, The Terry O'Brien Show. The Terry O'Brien Show airs live in vivid red, white, and blue, Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio.
I think that most liberals are well-intentioned but misguided. They're like children who have the luxury of believing in the political equivalent of the Tooth Fairy. They need some tough love. They need a big old healthy dose of common sense and information. And when they get it, the smart ones will become conservative. Politically incorrect? Damn straight I am. Got a problem with that?
All stations, prepare for reconnection.
When you listen to the Terry O'Brien Show, you're going to hear the news that everyone will be talking about on Monday. Politics, the culture, the media, celebutards, everything important that affects your life, and some things that don't, but still amaze, amuse, or disgust you. Provocative, informative, and occasionally snarky, you might be enraged, but you will never be bored. strap in for the wild ride with America's original conservative warrior princess. The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon. America is listening. Grassroots. Common sense. Conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio. Featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
My name is Lucas Johnson, and you're listening to my granddad on Paul Revere Radio.
All right, and we're back. Walter, are you still with me?
I'm still here.
Boy, you never can tell with Blog Talk. You know, you push a button and mute a mic, and then sometimes you come back, sometimes you don't. Okay,
yeah,
glad you're here with us.
Yeah, you've got to be careful of the negative ions.
Yeah, well, and some of the negative listeners, too. But that's a whole other story.
Well, yeah, before we start to go off,
yeah,
first of all, let me say hi to Lucas, your grandson, and share with you that what we're talking about tonight, folks, is about the Lucases of the world. This is about our kids and generations of their children, and it's very important. And if you don't mind this brief digression, but I'll come back to this. This has got to be a theme tonight, which is treason. We are in the season of treason. This all began, as you heard, about attempting to advance a criminal complaint against Mr. Obama for treason, and it has nothing to do with his birthright. It has to do with Mr. Obama's installing a government which is competing with and rival to the United States Constitution. And military officers have stood up to say, excuse me, but Mr. Obama, you're committing treason by shredding the Constitution. Now, as we have evolved in our pursuit of this claim against Mr. Obama, what we have discovered is treason in our own backyards. This is happening where you live. And here's what I mean. When judges take over the juries and run them, as we have found out that they're running them here in the 10th Judicial District of Tennessee, to include Monroe County, they have installed their own government, which is rival to that government that we find in the Constitution for the state of Tennessee and the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, everything that you hear about that's negative this day about what's going on in our government can be arrested by we the people. You, every single one of you, for a couple of bucks, can sit down and write out a complaint naming judges or court officials, or Mr. Obama, for that matter, in commission of the crime of treason. That complaint against Mr. Obama is 2 years old, short 1 week. It was launched on the 17th of March of 2009. Mr. Obama has admitted his treason through his silence. It's a tacit, silent agreement. He admits that he has committed this crime by not reacting or answering it. And we find treason, as I say, in our own backyards. We're finding this problem with the takeover of the juries across the country.
I was going to ask you if you're getting emails from people who are saying this is happening in other states. I was fairly sure that you were, but you just confirmed that.
Well, there are people. Tim Fasano, another Tim, Mr. Fasano in Nevada, found out in his geographic footprint. In Nevada, they're supposed to have grand juries coming together every year. They're supposed to be formed each and every year. Mr. Fasano did some homework about how the juries are supposed to operate. He found out that not only is a grand jury supposed to be assembled and constructed and operate each and every single calendar year, but that they have a list of things to do. They've got a task list that's handed to them each year, a checklist that they must complete before that grand jury in the state of Northern Nevada, before they can stand down at the end of the 12 months. Are you with me so far?
Yep.
And they have to inspect the schools. They have to look at past cases. They have to, take a look at the school board, jails. They have this stuff that they're supposed to do. Well, Tim Fasano walked in to his clerk of the court, and this goes back a couple months ago, And she just turned all sorts of different colors of white to ghost white, to ashen white. I mean, as the blood's running from her head down into her feet, you know, she said to Tim Fasano, "Sir, we haven't stood up a grand jury, and I think it's been 20 years.
What?
Yeah, in the state of Nevada. They haven't even stood one up. They haven't been operating the grand juries as they are required to do by law. Now, in the state of Tennessee, they actually put them together, but they are being controlled by the judges. Now, folks, I'm going to come back to this again and again and again and again. You have no excuse tonight. You can all, each and every one of you, act on your own authority in your own communities and find out for yourselves. Don't believe me? Okay, go and check it out. Go to your court clerks. Go to your courthouses. Ask the judges. Ask the attorneys. Ask the people who are in this system about how it's working. You're going to find the same gosh darn thing. And then you will have found that this judiciary, this I call it the dictatorship of the judiciary, they've taken away our juries. They've taken away our federal juries from us. Back in 1946, there's, again, this power of presentment, and Rick, we'll talk about that as you choose, but that was stripped away from the grand juries at the federal level back in 1946, and it's one of the decisions or one of the observations that Royce Lamberth made in the summer of 2009, which, you know, prompted me to take it to a county grand jury. Our juries have been taken over, and they're being used against us as a people instead of there to protect us as a people. The government's using these against us, and they're locking up innocent people. This needs to be something that is done throughout the country, and we can all do it. We can come together as a group, launch complaints against whoever you find appropriate to launch the complaint against for treason in the takeover of the government and installing
right.
a government that's rival.
Now, Walt, one of the very first things I know I'll hear when I start talking to people about this is, I'm not smart enough to do that. I'm not a lawyer. I don't have the background. But that's not necessarily the case, right?
There are sample letters all over the place.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't your website also have some sample letters that you can use?
Yeah, there. If you go to the Jag Hunter at the top, scroll down a little bit, but you'll find click here, click there. You know, you'll find sample letters that anybody can write, naming officials that you find appropriate as objects of the complaint to name. And as I say, Mr. Obama can be one of those people. The complaint's been out there for 2 years. It's safe for you to do that, folks. It's been done, and it has been recognized as recently as today by federal authorities as legitimate, the complaint's out there.
Now, you can imagine what would happen if suddenly literally hundreds, if not thousands of people all start filing these complaints. You know, we keep complaining that the system doesn't listen to us, that there's no effect, that, you know, all we're doing is, you know, beating against the wind. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, if we take that attitude and just sit down, we are going to be destroyed. The nation will definitely be destroyed, and it's a brave young men and women all across the country, and people like Walter are going out there and saying, you know, I'm not going to take it. I don't care if I am beating against the wind. I'm going to beat until I fall down, and then I'm going to get up and I'm going to do it again, and Walt's a great example of that. Now, Walt, I did have one question before we jump into this thing with Ms. Clerk, or the Ms. Cook, the county court clerk. What happens if you go ahead with your charges and they are found then in legal system to be true? What happens to all of those cases that were heard over the last 27 years in Monroe County with this guy?
Every single one of them gets another look. Every one of them.
We're talking about thousands and thousands of cases.
Oh, no, you're talking about tens of thousands, because we found this problem throughout the entire state of Tennessee. The judges have been doing this for, you know, Hamilton County. This woman, Marcia Crabtree, she stood in the grand jury in Hamilton County, Tennessee, for the same length of time that Mr. Pettway stood in the grand jury here in Monroe County, Tennessee. And
right.
I might add that Mr. Pettway is not the grand jury foreman tonight. He was not reappointed into 2011. But Ms. Crabtree complained of, you know, verbally and in writing. Her letter is out there for everybody to see on the internet. Marcia Crabtree, Hamilton County, Tennessee. Ms. Crabtree talked about how she was nesting in the grand jury room. She talked about how she was doing investigations into some of the defendants and coming to opinions about them and why, you know, what should be done to them.
She was informing jurors of her opinion about people
right.
before the actual trial.
Oh, yeah. She was in the grand jury for 20 years. There's nothing about this woman that was impartial, which was a requirement for her to be. She talked about how she thought she was a county employee. She wrote this letter as if she thought she should be getting a gold watch at the end of a career in the military, for goodness sakes, and you know, a pat on the back and a well done letter, something like that. She was upset that she didn't kind of get the kind of recognition that she thought she deserved, having been in the grand jury for 20 years.
Yeah, I've got the letter right here. It's amazing. You know, she says, I was considered only a part-time employee.
Yep.
I mean, come on. How do you my head's going to pop, okay?
Yeah.
I know very, very little about this system, but I know enough to know that, you know, they're not to be employees, and they're not to be considered employer-employee relationships between them and the judge.
Go watch the movie 12 Angry Men, and you will understand what it is to be in a jury. And if you extend that out 1 year in a grand jury, it's the same thing. It's instead of 1 day, it's 12 months. You come together a couple times during the year. That's what a jury is supposed to be. Strangers coming into the room and pretty much strangers when you leave, and you don't come back.
And ladies and gentlemen, get the older version. You know, go to Netflix or wherever you're going to get it. Get the older version with Jason. I think his name is Jason Robard and
Henry Fonda, Lee J. Cobb is in it, Martin Balsam's in it, Jack Klugman, the guy that used to play in Quincy, the TV
show
Quincy,
right.
He's in it, and others. Henry Fonda was one of the producers of the movie. He thought so much about how the jury system was supposed to operate that he put that movie together, you know, pretty much on his own. There are other versions out there of it, and I'm sure that they're just as fine as that one, but that's how a jury is supposed to work. You don't have people who think that they're there as part-time employees.
Right. Now, Walt, the mama who's in the chat room, she's the lady I was telling you about from Jerusalem. She, before she falls asleep, she wants to know, who is representing you? Who is your legal counsel? Who's helping you out?
Nobody will touch this in the state of Tennessee, because if they do, they have been threatened with sanctions. People have been telling me, don't represent yourself, but I don't have a choice.
So you have no counsel willing to come to bat?
No.
To stand it? Now, Kent, does it have to be a lawyer from Tennessee?
No, but if they come in here to practice in the state of Tennessee, what the attorney has to do is to subject themselves and become vulnerable to sanctions by the Tennessee Board of Judicial Conduct. In other words, if you don't do what we tell you, counselor, you're going to get hammered.
Holy crap.
If you expose the corruption that Fitzpatrick has exposed, don't do that. Don't go there. You're going to get hammered. And again, there are attorneys who have been threatened with their lives in this community. Mr. Miller's dead. Other people are, you know, and this is real.
Yeah, I've got, not only that, but you've got Tennessee attorneys facing disbarment for misconduct in Tellico Plains, Tennessee. That's just across the street, basically, from where your guys are at. A Knoxville judge just recently admitted to getting drugs from felons in his courtroom.
He was arrested yesterday.
Yeah, so this is just tragic. Now they're asking in the chat room, what about the Landmark Foundation? I don't know, or the Heritage Foundation. Certainly, there's somebody who's going to have the cojones to step up and come to the plate.
Rick, you said at the beginning of this show how widespread the information is out there regarding what's happening here in the state of Tennessee. J.B. Williams at the Patriots Union with the working with Sergeant of Marines Tim Harrington, and Sharon Rondo also working to that end with the Patriots Union. You go to the post and email, or you go to the page, this information is everywhere. And if these guys want to jump in and do something with this, hey, you know.
Well, if I'm sitting here in a bunker in North Carolina and I can find all this information, you know, it's not that hard. I literally just did some Googles on Monroe County Judicial.
Yeah.
And it just floods out there, you know, across the Internet.
This is not secret. So if these, and some of them have been approached, and they don't want to touch this thing with a barge pole.
Speaking of secret, didn't you get a visit from the Secret Service?
The complaint naming Obama for treason was filed on the 17th of March of 2009. It was received in Knoxville at the U.S. Attorney's Office, and then the day the guy's name was Russell Dedrick, U.S. Attorney out of Knoxville. He's since departed. He turned in a swivel chair, handed it to the United States Secret Service. The special agent in charge was, and may still be, Roland McCamus, and he and his fellow Secret Service agent, Leslie Cochran, were here in the afternoon of the 19th of March of 2009. And so, yeah, they were here.
Wow.
And they wanted to know about the complaint for treason, and I told them what it was about. And they said it was McGamus who said, you know, we don't have jurisdiction. It, you know, Mr. Obama's criminal conduct and his illegal holding of the office of President of the United States and Commander in Chief, this is known. And if folks want to do something about it, we're going to have to come together in large numbers and file complaints against Mr. Obama, naming him as the object in the complaint for treason. And it's in his installation of a government that's not found in the United States Constitution. He's putting his own government in place. And I can go on and on. We can talk from now until the end of the year about the kinds of ways that this government, Mr. Obama's government, and it's not just him, make no mistake, but it's time for us to put a stop to this.
Pardon me. Now I'm going to cough to death. Several people in the chat room are actually from Tennessee, and I see the question asked, this is also taking place in Memphis, it's taking place in other places across the state.
Yes.
How can they, as citizens, become involved in order to get this changed? Now, you talked about swearing out your own papers. Does it do any good contacting the legislature or the governor of the state?
No.
You have a new governor.
No. What people need to do is to sit down and where they have a name of a judge who they know is appointing a foreman into the grand jury unlawfully, illegally, name the judge in commission of the crime of treason. You can name state prosecutors in the commission of the crime of treason as you find them to be complicit or operative in this system of having foremen appointed into the grand juries. You can name Obama in the commission of the crime of treason at the federal level. You can, in your communities, alert those grand juries that are standing in place, the federal grand juries and the state grand juries. You know, somebody's going to have to be listening to this at some point, and that are in juries, you know, grand juries today, and say, you know what, we're mad as hell, we're not going to take this anymore, and have a foreman go to the grand jury in any state at the federal level or the state level and say, you know what, we're going to take a look at this issue. You see, the grand jury is the most powerful law enforcement agency known to us in our human history. It's the most powerful law enforcement agency. The grand jury can name Obama in treason, and they can present him, which is a fancy way of saying the grand jury can bring its own formal accusation against the man and say, come here, Mr. Obama, explain yourself.
Yeah, you know, the grand jury actually goes back, I was doing a little looking, goes back to 1162 and King Edward II.
Yeah.
So it's got a long history in our judicial system, coming out of England and all the way through, if you look at colonial history, a lot of grand jury stuff that you can read about. Let's go ahead and jump in.
Let me explain it this way. I've given this brief here recently. Okay, when the founders came together in the summer of 1787, our government as it existed in that day was not working. The founders came together. They were trying to fix the government that was in place, and they said, you know what, this is a wash. We can't do this. We got to start over again, right? So the founders in 1787, and these were very, very, very bright men. They had done a lot of study of history and law already in their own right, and in that summer they did more. And they studied, you know, five different kinds of governments that had existed in our human history. They limited it down to two, and then they came down to one. They said the way that we have to do this in our country is a representative republic. Okay, we're going to put together a republic, and that's the foundation that they built upon. Now, they looked at thousands of years of human history and law and practice and government, and they said this is what we're going to do, and that's what the Constitution's all about. Now here's the point that I make. The grand jury made the cut.
Yes.
Grand jury made the cut. They found that the grand jury was so important in the history of other governments that we needed to use it and have it in our Constitution to protect. The grand jury is the fourth branch of government, and it's supposed to be oversight of the other three. And it's been taken away from us, which is the treason part, and we have to take it back.
Right. The grand jury and jury nullification were two tools that were basically put in there to protect you from a corrupt judicial system.
Correct.
And, you know, and if the grand jury then is corrupted, We're nothing but toast. I mean, you can't do anything but just stand up there and take it.
We are in the problems that you find the power of we the people in a couple of places in the Constitution. One of the places that you find the power of we the people, it's in the grand jury. It's in the Fifth Amendment. Another place that you find it in the Sixth Amendment, which is, you know, talking about a trial jury. So in a broad sense, it's the jury system, the grand jury and the trial jury taken together. We find the power of we the people there. It's what makes us a republic. It's the jury. Okay. Now, another place that you find the power of we the people is in the Second Amendment. And when the government breaks down completely, that is a last appeal that that the founders gave to us to say you can defend yourself if you have to. So,
yeah, I always thought they got those slightly out of place. You know, I mean, just kind of, you know, I often wondered why wasn't the second one first. But I heard one of the best ways I heard it is the Second Amendment is the reset button on the Constitution.
Oh, there you go. Now, we have a peaceful way to take back our Constitution, folks, and it's to take back our juries. And you can do that by naming the people who have taken them away from you in commission of the crime of treason. How is it treason? They have taken away the juries that are recognized in the United States Constitution, and for me, in the state of Tennessee, the Tennessee State Constitution, and maybe where you live in your state constitution. And for example, Washington State doesn't use grand juries, so Washington State would not be part of our little focus tonight. But if you have that going on in your community, if these juries have been taken away from you, you can name the people who took them from you in commission of the crime of treason. This is the season of treason. The complaint's been out there for 2 years, and it's done nothing but grow and grow and grow because nobody has answered the mail.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking with Walt Fitzpatrick, and he is in eastern Tennessee where he has kicked the proverbial judicial hornet's nest, and we certainly want to have people pray for Walt and those who are with him and pray that he does get legal counsel and that he also is able to have strength and courage in this time. Walt, we need to jump to our last break, and then when we come back, we'll have about 15 minutes or so to surmise. And believe it or not, our time's almost over. So, brother, we'll be right back after this commercial break.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and I got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
This is your ZMN Newsbreak. I'm Amina Anderson. Fighting continues to intensify around the Libyan port of Ras Lanuf as forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi used grad rockets, mortars, and airstrikes in an attempt to retake the area. One airstrike set a massive oil tank ablaze at the Sidra oil export terminal about 6 miles west of town. It's the first time Libya's oil infrastructure has been damaged in the month-long uprising. Mr. Gaddafi claims the oil tank was set ablaze by al-Qaeda, working with the rebels, despite multiple witnesses saying it was hit by one of his planes. Rebels also said the pipeline that delivers crude oil from southern fields to the port was damaged in the attack, but this could not be confirmed. Mexico has long complained that drug gangs are terrorizing cities with high-powered weapons smuggled from the U.S. But Mexican lawmakers are now angry over recent revelations that the U.S. Bureau of Tobacco, Alcohol, Firearms, and Explosives purposely allows some of these weapons to be smuggled into Mexico so they can be tracked as part of Operation Fast and Furious. Jorge Carlos Ramirez Marin, president of Mexico's lower house of Congress, said the operation is a grave violation of international rights. Fellow Congressman Humberto Trevino claims that an estimated 150 shooting injuries and deaths have been linked to guns that were allowed by U.S. agents to proceed into Mexico. NATO forces in Afghanistan have seized about 50 Iranian-made rockets intended to aid the Taliban's spring battle campaign. the most powerful illicit weapons ever intercepted en route from Iran. The shipment is seen as a serious escalation in Iran's state support of the Taliban insurgency. It is also an escalation in the proxy war Iran is waging against the U.S. and other Western forces in Afghanistan as Washington continues to lobby for tougher international sanctions against Tehran over its suspected nuclear weapons program. You're listening to ZMN News.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano said Wednesday that Border Patrol agent Brian Terry and his fellow agents were not under orders to refrain from using lethal force in the gun battle that led to Agent Terry's death back in December. Testifying to the Senate Judiciary Committee, Ms. Napolitano said agents are allowed to use lethal force if they are under threat of serious injury or death. She said that she personally asked if the agents involved in the shootout with bandits on the border in Arizona had their hands tied by orders, and she said the answer is absolutely not. Vermont Governor Peter Shumlin returned from a secret Caribbean getaway with no apologies for keeping his vacation destination a secret or for going there without his security detail. The first-term Democrat's whereabouts became the subject of speculation and news reports after staff members said they didn't know where he was. Adding to the interest, Vermont got socked with its biggest ever March snowstorm, which dumped more than 2 feet of snow in places and closed schools and state government offices. Shumlin revealed that he had been to the island of Dominica in the West Indies and that he purposely asked his staff not to disclose it so he could be a private citizen and so the island did not have to deal with the hubbub of a visiting dignitary. I'm Amina Anderson, ZMN News, truth, not hype. Have a good day.
My name is Nicole Johnson, and you're listening to my granddad upon Revere Radio.
Okay, and we're back for the last part of the show, and Walt, that was another grandkid. I need to have about a six-hour-long show so I could get all the grandkid commercials in here, but that's one of the reasons I do this show, is trying to make sure that they have an America that is here for them when they get to my age. Hopefully that'll happen. Yep. So, Walt, we got about 15 minutes or so. Let's go ahead and talk about Marty Cook and what she was doing as the county court clerk in your county.
Well, first of all, I was arraigned on these false charges back on the 28th of June, and Judge Carol L. Ross was presiding that day, and sitting to his right was this clerk of the court, Miss Martha M. Marty Cook. And I was in uniform that day, and this judge used me as a plaything, a flamethrower target, and was... we're trying to get a recording of what this Judge Carol Ross did that day, and the state won't turn it over. And, you know, the transcript has been doctored. But this man sitting next to Martha Cook and then working with Martha Cook, you know, used me as the object of derision. During the course of the arraignment, he turned to Ms. Cook and placed her under oath, and Ms. Cook testified against me. As they were using, again, as a comedy routine. And at that moment in time, Ms. Cook became disqualified in being the clerk on my case because she had just become a witness in that case.
Right.
She could appear. And as it turned out, Ms. Cook picked by hand. She sat down at her desk and picked by hand the names of the people that were to sit in the jury that I finally faced on the 1st of December.
Right. Now, I have the actual jury listing that you sent me here. And,
it's in her own handwriting.
Yeah, and I noticed some interesting things. Going through here, she was eliminating people and kind of highlighting people that she wanted on the jury or off the jury, as best I can read this. I see on here where she circled people who had college education.
Uh-huh.
And then she X'd out a lot of people who just had high school education. Was she basically setting it up to her pleasure?
Well, again, we'd have to ask Ms. Cook, you know, what her frame of mind was, what her decision process was in that day. I can tell you on that list that you have of the replacements that two lists. She seated the original 12, and then she had a list of replacements. At the top of the list of replacements is the name of a man named Shane Kaiser. We find the spelling twice, but in two different versions. But Mr. Kaiser was the first replacement that was called into the seat of 12, the panel of 12, when the first juror in that 12 got bounced, right? Well, one of the last questions that was asked, it was the last question that was asked. I asked it. I said, anybody here in this group of 12 been in the jury in the last 2 years? And, of course, this had been after we had already found out Mr. Pettway had been in the jury for 20 years, and we had another grand jury foreman who was in, you know, the jury in 2009 who got, recast in 2010. The issue was ripe. And Ms. Cook put Mr. Kaiser at the top of the list of replacements. Mr. Kaiser was in a jury, a criminal jury, in Monroe County in 2009. He got bounced because he wasn't allowed to be in the jury in 2010.
Right, falling under the two-year rule, right.
Right, right. So how did that happen? Well, Ms. Cook put him there.
Now, there was a note that I saw in some of these things I was going through where they're trying to make the distinction that the grand jury foreman is actually impaneled separately and differently than the actual jurors themselves, and therefore they don't need to fall under that 24-month period. Has there been anybody who's given you that information? Or
I had this conversation today. I said, find that in the Tennessee state law. I said, no judge is allowed to pick any juror, period. No judge is allowed, no Tennessee judge is allowed to pick any Tennessee juror, period.
And how did that go? How did that go over with them?
At one point in the conversation, they were defensive with me to say that not everybody in government is corrupt. These three agents that are sitting with you here today, you know, we stand behind the law. Did you know that we arrested a judge yesterday? That's how I found out about this judge.
Right.
So they were defensive about it. They know that the corruption's out there, and they're doing what they can. At least some of them.
Yeah, I can understand the defensiveness. You know, it'd be like somebody, you know, coming up and hammering on me, saying that everybody in the Air Force are hammering on you, everybody in the Navy is crooked, and we're a bunch of baby killers and stuff like that. You know, and we've heard those lame arguments. You just have to take that with a grain of salt. And I can understand where they might be getting it a little under their skin. But all in all, would you say the flavor of the meeting was favorable for you?
Oh, it was nothing but good. There were some very candid, tight moments, but on the whole, the meeting was very productive. It was a meeting that needed to happen. Got a lot of things cleared up, and I'll leave it at that.
Let's try to paint this picture here, just as we get ready to close. You have a multifaceted layer of corruption in the judicial system in your county. Is that a fair assessment?
It's massive.
Now, do you think that it was initially done on purpose, or is this just something that has evolved through the good old boy network over time, and that, you know, it was convenient to have the same person as a grand jury chairman because you didn't have to retrain them and stuff like that?
No,
or do you think
there's a legend. You know, Athens, Tennessee is in McMinn County, which is a neighboring county, and if you Google the Battle of Athens, you will find that at the end of World War II, vets came home to find in Athens, Tennessee, which is just, you know, 10, 15 miles down the road, corruption on the same scale that we see it today. And the Battle of Athens was that these vets took these government officials and tossed them out of the building. Now, in this day, we have a different scenario where the government has become so powerful that that could not happen again in the way it happened in 1946.
Right.
But this is a legend. This is a culture in Tennessee, as others have reported it to me.
Wow.
As we're finding out in real terms today, I mean, we're not making any of this up. These judges are criminals. And they can't be arrested. I mean, I've been told you've got the clip. If you commit a murder in the state of Tennessee, if it's a judge who does it, nobody can touch that judge unless the district attorney in that particular footprint says, okay, we can do that. And I mean, the corruption in the judiciary is massive.
And right. Let's go ahead and jump to some of this corruption. I want to play this piece of recording that you provided for me from the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation and your phone call, and then we'll get your comment on it.
The time is now 10:20 hours on Friday morning, the 15th of October, 2010, and I am attempting once again to call the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation in their Chattanooga, Tennessee office.
TBI, can I help you?
Yeah, good morning. My name is Walter Francis Fitzpatrick III. I'm calling from Sweetwater, Tennessee, and I am recording this telephone call. I am attempting to report extraordinary criminal conduct by Tennessee judges.
Okay, you're going to have to go through a district attorney or the attorney general in Nashville before TBI can get involved. That's the way it's legislated. It's illegal for us to open up a homicide case unless we have a district attorney to request us to open the case.
What happens if the district attorney is part of the...
That's when you need to call the attorney general in Nashville, because they're over all the attorneys.
No, I've been told this, and I was told this by Special Agent Washington back on the 10th of June of 2010, and I did as you asked. I contacted Attorney General Cooper's office, and I get the runaround there. I've done what you've asked.
Okay.
I've done.
I don't have any control over the attorneys general.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is that for a citizen in the state of Tennessee, there is no recourse in reporting criminal conduct on behalf of judges. There's no place to go. I've been to the places that you've asked me to go over and over and over again.
What kind of? Is the information not credible or something?
I was just typing in the chat room for people. Listen to her tone of voice. The disdain that's in her voice, her actual rudeness, that just blows me away. Was this the first time you spoke to this lady?
Yes. But I have spoken with other agents from the Tennessee. Special Agent Washington was mentioned in the telephone conversation. I actually drove to Chattanooga to try and raise this up. And what you're hearing is that a judge can commit a murder, and if the district attorney doesn't think that it should be investigated, it won't be. At the table that I was sitting at today, I said, which one of you three has jurisdiction to arrest the judge? And they said, none of us have jurisdiction to arrest the judge. I'm talking to an agent from the TBI, Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, one from the state troopers outfit here, the Tennessee State Police, and one from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They said, we need a warrant. Well, who issues the warrant?
Who issues the warrant? Right.
It's the clerk, it's the Morty Cooks of the world. That's who they have to get. I said I can't get somebody to issue a warrant. So, you know, why are these judges being protected in ways that you and I, Rick, can't be protected in, you know, where you are in North Carolina or where I am in Tennessee or where Tim Fasano is in the state of Nevada?
Right.
These people are breaking the law, and we can't act against them. And in the meantime, they're the criminals acting against us from the bench.
I cannot answer that. Let's go ahead and play another minute of this clip.
The time is now 10:20 hours. Oops, on Friday morning.
My bad, I hit the wrong button. Hang on. Live radio at its best.
Is the information not credible or something?
Nobody. The information is completely credible. I have more evidence received this week. Today's the 15th of October. It was Tuesday night that I received the most recent evidence of criminal conduct on behalf of the judges. What's going on here is that the judges and the district attorneys are trying to block me from raising to public view those crimes that I now know to be carried out by judges and district attorneys in the state of Tennessee. It's huge.
Okay. So what are those crimes, sir?
Well, among other things, the judges have taken over our grand juries in the state of Tennessee, and they're using them against citizens. We have jury members in the grand jury in Roane County 23 years, in Monroe County 20 years, in Hamilton County 15 years, in McMinn County it's 6 or 7 years, depending on who you talk to, and on it goes. I have been threatened with physical harm by judges. I am facing charges now from a judge which are completely unmeritorious.
The Tennessee Board of Professional Responsibility.
I've been to them, too.
Okay. Well, you know, from what you're telling me, I don't hear any evidence other than your accusations.
Hold it. I'm not able to demonstrate to you over the phone the physical evidence that I have. okay? I do have the physical evidence.
I can't help you.
What kind of evidence do you have? I don't hear any evidence. Oh, my God.
Well, you know, again, in this October phone call, I told her I had been to the office she was speaking from. I spoke with an agent, and I had the evidence in my hand that day in a very large binder. And
right.
He refused, Special Agent Washington refused to look at it, said, we can't go there. We can't touch this. He told me back in June, on the 10th of June, as I recall, of 2010, what she repeated in this phone call that you've played tonight, which is, hey, we can't do anything unless we have authority from the district attorney. Well, in this case, the district attorney for us is a guy named Steve Bebb, B-E-B-E, pronounced as a single syllable, Bebb. He's a former judge from Monroe County, criminal judge. Judge Bebb is what he used to go by, and, of course, you know, he's not going to take action against
him. Yeah, he's part of the problem, not part of the solution.
Right, right. Yeah, and I've been to the attorney general's office, and the attorney general in the state of Tennessee is not an elected position. The attorney general in the state of Tennessee is appointed by who do you think?
Governor?
The Supreme Court.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Question in the chat room. It says, would the commander be able to file a RICO Act lawsuit against those involved? There is a section for civilians in the 1964 for such things.
The answer is yes. And beyond that, I'm not interested in filing a civil complaint when I can advance a complaint in a criminal situation against these people for
trial. Yeah, exhaust all the criminal complaint avenues first and then go, if you have to, go civil.
The direct path here is everybody needs to sit down and pen out a complaint naming the people in your communities or Mr. Obama in the White House for the commission of the crime of treason.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening to this, you've either had it downloaded, emailed to you, or you've caught this after the live broadcast, in the chat room we are putting up the commander's website, and he has forms and areas that you can go to get information on how to file your own complaint. And you can find that.
If you Google, you know, use a search term, sample letter treason, it will come right to you.
Right.
If you go to the JAG Hunter, there's over on the side, there's a little placard that says, you know, when the government doesn't obey the Constitution, if the government doesn't obey the Constitution, what's treason? You click on that, you come to a letter. You can modify that as you choose. You can do it in one page.
Yeah, it's jaghunters.blogspot.com. Let's go ahead.
Actually, it's the jaghunter.wordpress.com.
Oops. Okay.
That's the new site. And
the new site. Yeah. Okay. No problem. All right. Well, let's go ahead and play this last part here, because if this doesn't make your head spin right off your shoulders, nothing will.
I can't help you.
So what you're telling me?
I don't know what to tell you. They won't help you through the professional responsibility and the attorney general. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
You could call the governor.
Well, I've done that too.
Okay.
And by the way,
honestly, the information you have is not enough for them to prosecute or something.
Why is that obvious?
Because obviously they didn't do anything.
They haven't seen anything. They won't accept my criminal complaint. They won't accept anything that I have to show them. What they tell me is, like you're telling me right now today, without looking at anything, I have to go someplace else. And then I go there, and then they tell me I have to go someplace else. And then I go there, and they tell me I have to go someplace else. No one has reviewed the accusations that I am able to prove.
I'll give you a fax number.
Okay.
You need to give them some written stuff here. You don't need to just, you know, blowhard. I mean, it's not going to help.
So you've just accused me of being a blowhard.
No.
Well, you used that word.
You said that you, whatever.
Thank you.
You're just running your mouth.
No,
that's what I meant.
No, I'm not.
Running your mouth, and you don't have any.
I drove.
If you don't have information in written form or some kind of form that is credible.
I drove to Chattanooga on the 10th of June to present physical evidence. I met with Special Agent Washington.
You know what, sir? I think you need to find somebody else to yin-yang at, okay? Because I'm not going to talk to you.
Who would that be? Hello? The time now is 10:26, and the person I was speaking with from the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation has just hung up.
Walt, how did you keep from ripping her throat out down the phone line?
Well, I'll tell you what, listening to that again, this is what we're up against, folks, and it's going to take numbers of people to come together and nest together and then swarm, like, you know, think of this in terms of a nest of wasps. And you being one of the wasps, and that your nest has just been kicked over, and you need to attack the object of you know, the attack against your home to save people in the future, like Lucas. Your government's been taken away from you. The juries have been taken away from you, and the people running the system are like this woman I just spoke with, and I think Kathy Pendleton, as I recall, I wrote this out at the time, is the person who I believe special agent from the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation.
Yeah.
How do you deal with this? Well, you've got to come together in numbers. You've got to nest and then swarm. Come together in large numbers of people and file complaints, naming folks in your community in the commission of the crime of treason. They've taken away your juries.
Yeah, I'm looking at a chat room and people are saying stuff like, oh, my God, and how did you keep from sticking your head through a wall? I don't know. It's just –
that will make your listeners laugh is that I knew someday that somehow maybe this phone conversation would be replayed and that if I got, you know, unprofessional, it would not be a good thing. So I did what I could to maintain. And I didn't do that very well, but I did my best.
Oh, no, I thought you were very controlled. I mean, I didn't even hear your voice get, elevated. I would have just popped a gasket. I mean, that's just sitting here. Maybe it's the four quarts of tea I've gotten, all the caffeine, but, I mean.
Well, again, these people know about the corruption, and they're looking for ways to make you, us, go away.
Well, we've got just enough time to play the Steve Morgan, Assistant District Attorney clip, if you want to play it.
Oh, go ahead.
All right, here we go.
To hear is that people, reasonable people, are trying to bring what we know to be crimes committed to law enforcement officials. And everybody that we go to has a reason, one or a dozen, not to act.
Well, let me just, you say reason. Let me, we don't have, like me, I can't prosecute a case in Meigs County. I'm not a DA in Meigs County. I used to live in Hamilton County and drive up here.
I understand.
I couldn't prosecute a crime in Hamilton County unless I was a citizen attacked.
No,
and
understand.
Then I could be a victim.
But
I just don't have jurisdiction outside of this county, and technically I can go to Polk and Bradley, but I work in the northern office, so I handle the Monroe.
When the federal government is breaking the law.
Federal issue.
But when the federal government gives itself permission to break the law and will not observe something called the Constitution.
Federal issue.
States have a responsibility and a duty, and it gets into state sovereignty. Okay, it gets into.
People make this argument back in 1860s.
I know.
And we had a big war about it.
I know that.
And it kind of got changed after that.
No, because you still have states' rights and the Tenth Amendment.
I believe in states' rights as an individual,
okay.
But at the same time, I also know that the Tenth Amendment has been eroded by law, case law, ever since. So,
which is one of the reasons I'm involved in the work I'm trying to do.
But that's
grand jury.
Grand juries have
been eroded too.
All
back
those
in 1946,
cases, all
the
those
power
cases.
That used to belong to a federal grand jury was stripped from them by attorneys.
Okay.
Ooh,
again, I don't do federal law, but again, all those cases that stripped away the state's rights are federal.
Sir, what I'm trying to express here is the work that people like myself are involved in trying to advance a criminal complaint to somebody who will act on it.
Again, I can't act, and neither can the grand jury.
Where do we
on
go?
Things.
Where do we go?
Are you listening?
I am.
Or are you just going to talk? Because what I'm trying to explain to you is that this grand jury, Monroe County, or McMinn County, you want to present it to the McMinn County, the same deal. If it's not occurred in their jurisdiction, they don't have the power.
So basically he's saying, the Tenth Amendment, but it's not It's no big thing anymore. We don't really.
He is an assistant district attorney in the county of, or in the 10th Judicial District, which incorporates four counties, Polk, McMinn, Bradley, and Monroe. And he just said, and this is a conversation that took place in January of 2010. In fact, it was the conversation where he said, go back to the grand jury in Monroe County. And then we did that the next day and found out about Petway. But this attorney just said out loud that the 10th Amendment is no longer operative as a law. It's not,
wow.
It's still in the Constitution. And the same attorney talks about the power of presentment. Not again. It's we don't recognize the United States Constitution as being fundamental. You know, our law of the land. And Rick, you know, if we don't have these kinds of laws to rely upon, all we have left is chaos. And that's what we're talking about tonight. It's chaos.
And I think we're seeing evidence of that slowly creep up all around the country, and I think that's part of the plan. Create enough chaos that eventually the people will just beg for a strong government to come in and stop the chaos.
Well,
it's a shame.
The people have the power to advance complaints against the government officials who have taken away from us the Constitution, named
right.
And then commission of the crime of treason locally. And then, you know, you can do it at the federal level as well. It's going to be a lot of people that are going to have to come together and do this. The government is not going to fix the problem. You've heard these people tonight. You're going to run into
right.
this wherever you go.
Well, when are you going to go take the bar exam in Tennessee?
Oh, you know, people have asked me about that. And for me, this is the issue. I refuse to give up thinking morally for having to think legally.
Yeah.
I won't do that.
Well, brother, a lot of people in the chat room are calling you a hero, and I have to agree. At least you're there, and you've seen the battle, and you haven't run off the battlefield. And I know many, many people who would just fold their cards and leave, and you're not willing to do that. And we need a lot more people like that. You know, and I started this program, and I started the blog with Paul Revere in mind because he had the audacity to get on his horse and ride. And we need a lot of people out there riding, just like you. You know, they're willing to go into harm's way, willing to put themselves out there because we have generation upon generation coming behind us who will lose everything.
Hey,
I really think we are the last line of defense. We really
it's
are.
It's about an oath, Rick, and that oath doesn't come with an expiration date. And for folks listening to this tonight, you should be very, very concerned that you have military commanders in uniform tonight on active duty that are no more concerned with obeying the Constitution than that Steve Morgan you just heard or Mr. Obama, for that matter. You're going
yeah.
to have to stand up and do something, and the thing to do is advance criminal complaints in large numbers for treason.
Well, brother, it's been a pleasure, and I certainly hate it, but we are right up against the back of the show, and you've given us a plan. You've given us at least a way that we can attack, and so we need to take your advice and do that. And
well, good night all, and thank you for your opportunity tonight. I sure appreciate it.
And Walt, listen, we'd love to have you on the show again. When you have more information and more things come about, please give me an email or give me a call, and we'll set you up to come back because you have a lot of information we need. And your agency, the Jag Hunter, please, ladies and gentlemen, hunt him down online. Find the Jag Hunter and support him. Is there a way that we can provide financial support?
I'm trying. No, let's just, if there's a need for that, you know, we'll let you know. But I am trying my very level best to not collect money because then, let's
okay.
leave it at that.
All right. I hear you. Thank you, brother. We appreciate it. And
okay.
Keep in the fight, and we got your back.
Thank you, sir. Good night, all.
All right. We salute you, sir. Have a
fair
good one.
Fair winds following seas, as the sailors say.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great show, and that was Commander Walt Fitzpatrick. Please stay with us. Come back next week and get on your horse and ride and spread the word. Have a good evening, and God bless you.
Listen again every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for Paul Revere Radio.
Thank you. talk about me like a dog.